I'd like to call the House Finance Committee meeting to order. Today is Thursday, May 9, 2019, and the time is 1:30 p.m. With us today is Representative Lebon, Representative Tilton, Representative Carpenter, Representative Merrick, Representative Josephson, Representative Ortiz, and Representative Wilson. Today we have one piece of legislation before us, SB 44, Telehealth, Physician Assistance and Drugs, which after having the crime bill seems very pertinent today. So with that, we have actually Senate President Senator Giesel with us. If you'd like to come to the table, put yourself on the record. You may begin your testimony, and we also been joined by Representative Sullivan Leonard.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. For the record, I'm State Senator Kathy Giesel, Senate District N. That's 27 and 28 House districts. So Senate Bill 44 addresses telehealth authorization for physician assistance. This bill is actually a cleanup bill from a bill that passed the legislature several years ago. It was known as the Medicaid Reform Bill. It was Senate Bill 74 back in 2016. And in that bill, there was authorization for Alaska's physicians to render care through telemedicine. So that means they could diagnose, provide treatment, prescribe, dispense, and administer prescription drugs without conducting a physical examination. In other words, telemedicine. The problem is that Senate Bill 74 only addressed physicians. Therefore, the state medical board took a strict interpretation, found no legislative record indicating that this should also include physician assistants. And so since that passage of that bill, the state medical board has opined that physician assistants cannot provide telemedicine services. So physician assistants, some of you may be familiar with them and some not. They have a long history. During the Vietnam War, which occurred probably when several of you were not even alive yet, these were medics who performed critical, life-saving, and complex medical services in the field under adverse conditions. After the war ended, these veterans came back with significant medical skills that needed a place to serve, right? And so physicians began to employ them in their offices, providing healthcare services under supervision of a physician. And thus was born the physician assistant profession. In your packet, you'll find a document from the American Academy of Physician Assistants. It outlines the education and experience for physician assistants. Their education includes taking medical histories, performing physical exams, doing lab tests, diagnosis, prescribing medications, and assisting in surgery. Typically, their education is 27 months long, with rotations through all the usual clinical specialties and subspecialties. They complete about 2,000 hours of supervised clinical practice. Almost all PA programs are master's degrees, though by 2020, that's next year, they'll be required to be master's degrees. The state medical board has guidelines, and those are also in your packet, that require that the physician assistant have a collaborative agreement with a physician. They have to have at least monthly contact with that supervising physician, and the physician authorizes what the physician assistant can do, where they can practice, what medications they can prescribe. Physician assistants also, just for your information, often have Drug Enforcement Administration, DEA, authorization to prescribe controlled substances if they choose to request that authorization. So what this bill will do will be clean up the gap that came into existence with Senate Bill 74 back in the day, and reestablish allowing the 700 licensed physicians in Alaska to provide telemedicine just as they did before Senate Bill 74. Senate Bill 74 kind of mixed it all up. So who will benefit from this? First of all, patients, particularly in rural areas and medically underserved areas. Again, in your packet, you've got some maps. They are from the Health Services and Resource Administration. They identify professional shortage areas and underserved areas of Alaska. You'll see most of our state qualifies for that. So allowing physician assistants, PAs, to provide these services by telemedicine expands access to care. You'll find letters in your packet from physician assistants who practice in rural areas and how important this is for them. And you should know that the State Medical Board has taken a neutral position on the bill. Madam Chairman, in the audience here is Sarah Chambers. Of course, she's from the Director of Professional Licensing Division. I believe online is someone who represents the State Medical Board, not the Executive Director, but one of her assistants, as well as some other folks. And the Department of Health and Human Services is offering an amendment to this bill that I think the committee might find interesting. It's up to you if you find it interesting or not. But with that, I'll take questions, if you please, Madam Chair.
And on the amendment portion, is there someone else that you would like to explain that once we get done with this portion?
Heather Carpenter is here from DHSS.
Sounds great. So is there any questions for the Senator? Representative Knopp.
So I'm just put maybe two questions, Madam Chair. So first question, are there letters of opposition to this bill, or have you received much opposition to the bill?
We've received no letters of opposition to this bill.
And second follow-up, Madam Chair. So do you think the board, you said, took a neutral position? So as physicians, no physicians have expressed any opposition to PAs doing the telehealth, telemedicine?
That is a correct statement, Representative Knopp, through the chair. No physician has expressed opposition to this.
Thank you.
Representative Josephson.
Madam Chair, I really have a question for you, if I might. President Giesel said that the department has an amendment, and I haven't typically seen that happen. I'm not unwelcome. I don't find it unwelcome, depending on what it says. I just thought, is that a process that I'm unfamiliar with, or I don't know.
So it would be the intent of the committee. We could do it either direction. We could have an amendment put forward, or we could do a committee substitute. Most of the time, if they've come to us previously, you'll usually just see a committee substitute. They had not talked to the president of the Senate yet. We try not to jump on other people's bills without their permission. Not that it doesn't always happen, but we do try to take that process. Would you like to hear that amendment as we have the senator still before us?
Yes, please.
Ms. Carpenter? And Senator, you can remain there if you'd like to, because I kind of think we'll probably want to know what you – I'm assuming you're in favor of it. You probably wouldn't have told us otherwise, but please put yourself on the record and please explain the amendment that will be forthcoming.
For the record, Heather Carpenter, healthcare policy advisor in the Commissioner's Office of Health and Social Services. Chair Wilson, the governor put forward a Medicaid bill in Senate Bill 112 and House Bill 135. There were two pieces to that bill that we approached Senate President Giesel to ask if we could attach those to her bill in order to get them through this legislative session. Those pieces are about our preferred drug list. Right now, we update that list once a year. The amendment in simple terms would allow us to update that by reference through regulations. Right now, our preferred drug list takes, by the time we start regulations, 6 to 9 months from the initial public notice to when it is fully adopted. We put forward a change to the list once a year, even though our committee meets four times a year for those changes. That way we don't have four reg packets moving at once to confuse the public. Would you like me to go through more detail? I don't want to get too far ahead of the committee, but happy to give full remarks now if that helps.
Well, I'm still not sure exactly what the amendment does.
So two sections of, Chair Wilson, two sections of Senate Bill 112, HB 135, are Section 1 and Section 7 that we are proposing to amend into SB 44. And what that would allow us to do is Medicaid has a preferred drug list and a prior authorization medication list. The first section would allow that to be updated by reference through regulations. So instead of being a 6 to 9 month process, it would be about a 60-day process for that list to be updated. So that's the main crux of what we are trying to propose.
Okay, so Representative LeBond, did you have a question?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I guess my question maybe is directed to the Senator. I was a board member at the Interior Community Health Center for 20 years, and we had a health clinic facility in Healy, and it was manned by a physician's assistant, and the supervision was in Fairbanks at the Interior Community Health Center main location. So That supervision was in place and had been in place for years. How would this program change that, or would it change it at all? Or does the physician's assistant need to be in close proximity with the medical doctor supervising them, or is it okay for them to be 120 miles apart?
Madam Chair, Representative LeBon, the bill that is sitting before you, Senate Bill 44, only requires contact. In other words, the physician assistant in Healy simply needs to have a telephone contact or an email contact with their supervising physician. That's the level of supervising. Occasionally, perhaps the physician reviews the PA's notes or consults on a complicated case, those kinds of things. Related to this amendment that Ms. Carpenter is putting before you is somewhat of a tangential subject in that the preferred drug list is simply part of the Medicaid, how Medicaid controls costs for prescription drugs. And this drug list typically advocates use of generic drugs first. It also allows bulk buying, has been my understanding as I've had work with the preferred drug list. So it's a major cost savings for our Medicaid system. Madam Chair.
Thank you. And so we will have an amendment in that form to discuss. I just wanted to kind of get everybody a little bit clued in to what we're doing. Normally we would have the amendment before us first, but because it's worked into the bill, and I know the senator's very busy, might not be able to be back with us next time. I want to make sure we had her on record on what she wanted to see with this bill. So before we go to public testimony, is there any other questions or concerns? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
We're going to open up public testimony on SB 44. Online right now, I just have three individuals right now who are here for questions. I have Aaron Neris, a lead pharmacist from the Division of Health, Chris Dietrich, the Orion Behavioral Health Network, and Wendy Smith from Alaska Academy of Physicians Assistants. I'm going to put that out. Do any one of you want to testify on this bill or just here for questions? If you're just here for questions, you don't need to say anything. Oh, sorry, we have two, one at a time. Aaron and Norris, did you have anything that you wanted to add?
Chair Wilson, I'm available for questions for the committee. Thank you.
Perfect. Chris Dietrich?
I'm also available for questions.
And last but not least, Wendy Smith.
And I too am here for questions from the committee.
Perfect. Are there any questions for any one of these three individuals? Representative LeBon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess a continuation of my question before, is it most likely to be the case where the physician's assistant will be in the same building with the supervising doctor? Is that the most common occurrence?
So, Ms. Smith, you're with Alaska Academy of Physicians Assistants. Could you help Representative LeBon with this question?
I'd say from my practice, my collaborating physician is present in the building. For majority of PAs in the state of Alaska, that is not the case. Mm-hmm. So supervision is by telephone or email, as discussed earlier.
And so we're going to finish up with public testimony. Anybody else online? Is there anyone else in the room who'd like to testify on SB 44? Ms. Chambers, would you like to be part of public testimony? Please put yourself on the record and you may begin your public testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Sarah Chambers, Division of Professional or Corporations Business and Professional Licensing. I did just want to make sure to get on the record that the medical board has updated their disposition on this bill, which is to be in a position of support. So the medical board is in support of this bill.
Perfect. Thank you. And you might as well stay there because I think we're going to go to you next.
All right.
Any other public testimony in the room? Seeing none, I'm going to now close public testimony on SB 44. And now we're going to look at the fiscal notes. Looks like we have two fiscal notes, Ms. Chambers.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, Sarah Chambers. We have a fiscal note from our department in the amount of $5,300. This is simply to update regulations and the associated printing and postage that the medical board will need in order to accommodate the update allowing telemedicine for physician assistants.
And this will be paid by the medical board?
This is all receipt-supported services. It is all paid by licensing fees.
Representative LeBon on fiscal note, component number 2360.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I could expand it a little bit beyond the numbers, nurse practitioner level, was that discussed as being included in this?
Madam Chair, through the chair, Representative LeBon, as President Giesel mentioned in 2016, SB 74 expanded telemedicine to include physicians and several other license types, speech-language pathologist, physical therapist. Nurses and advanced nurse practitioners have actually been able to do telemedicine for a couple of decades. So they've been doing that successfully, and the Board of Nursing is adopting regulations right now to clarify that.
Any other questions for Ms. Chambers? Do we also have somebody here from the Department of Administration? We do. Thank you, Ms. Chambers.
Thank you. Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Emily Ricci, Chief Health Administrator with the Division of Retirement and Benefits with the Department of Administration. And through the chair, I can speak to our fiscal note, which is a $0 fiscal note for this bill. We don't anticipate it having a financial impact to the health plans.
And will it save the health plan any funding with because now we'll be using telehealth versus physicians' visits?
Through the chair, I think conceptually in time, it could save money, but not within the time frame that we reviewed for the fiscal note. I think right now we don't anticipate additional. We anticipate the services that would be provided to our membership, which quite frankly are very few right now in context of our overall claim spend. Would continue to be provided. Those may increase over time, but right now we're seeing very, very little utilization. So when we look at about 2 million claims a year being processed, we're seeing fewer than 40 being processed for telemedicine right now, and I think that's probably a combination of the industry working to understand how and when billing telemedicine should work and can work within the existing system. So we don't anticipate this having a financial impact, but I think it does have the potential to increase access in the future.
Representative Josephson.
Thank you. Through the chair, Ms. Ricci, I just want to make sure I understand what you just said. So the pool you're talking about is public employees and really state employees, and we file 2 million claims a year for provider help of one sort or another, and 40 of them are telehealth? Is that what you just said?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, excuse me, when we looked at our data warehouse to develop the fiscal note, we did identify that fewer than 40 were being billed under the CPT code and the associated modifier for these types of services. Now, digging into it a little deeper, we found that some of these services may be being billed to the plan without that telemedicine modifier. So there may be slightly higher utilization than we anticipate, but we're not able to pull it out from our coding data right now. I think regardless, in context with those 2 million, with those 2 million annually processed claims, we don't anticipate any sort of measurable financial impact from this immediately.
Okay. Representative Carpenter.
Madam Chair, if I can bring some synergy between two different issues that are before this body and ask a question concerning telemedicine and bandwidth issues. Is there a issue with telemedicine in rural Alaska that is on bandwidth related issues? And I realize this may be a surprise, total surprise out in the left field question, but I would, and I don't know whether you're the right person to answer it or somebody on the phone or that could address that.
Through the chair, Representative Carpenter, I'm probably not the best person to address the bandwidth issues. But it would not surprise me if there are some.
Not exactly sure we have anybody online that can, because these are not those that work from within. But we can get that answer. We can put that question out there, and I'm sure we can find an answer on how that is. And maybe that may be why we're only seeing a very small number using telehealth at this point, because we know that a lot of parts of the state still don't have the kind of access that we're looking at. Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you very much. Senator Giesel, is there anything else you would like to add?
No, thank you, Madam Chair.
Is there any other questions, concerns about SB 44? Seeing none, we're going to set this bill aside, and we will have it up very soon with the amendment as well. Anything else to come before the committee? Seeing none, we are at 1:50, and we are adjourned.